A magnitude 3.6 earthquake struck northeast Arkansas on October 15th. While you might not have heard much about this quake, you most likely heard about the magnitude 7.1 quake that killed hundreds in Mexico City a month earlier. Clint Wood, an assistant professor in the University of Arkansas's Department of Civil Engineering, was part of a group of researchers who traveled to Mexico to study the earthquake's impact on buildings and infrastructure. Wood recently came to Studio 123 to speak with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda about his trip. As a geotechnical earthquake engineer, Wood often focuses his research on soil.
It's not that we don't look at the buildings. So, I mean, structural engineers deal with the design of the buildings and how kind of the interconnections perform. For a lot of what we're interested in is we're interested in how the soil amplified the ground motions or changed the ground motions. And what type of soil failures may have contributed to the building failure that you see. You know, how did the soil fail that may have led to some differential settlement or settlement in the foundation that may have damaged the building or contributed to its potential collapse? There's a lot of things we understand about building design that we know you shouldn't do, but there's still a lot of buildings out there that are built that way, you know, but just because they were built 30 years ago. You know, Mexico City is a good example of that, in that there were a lot of buildings built in the 70s and 80s that, you know, were very lightly reinforced with rebar in these reinforced concrete buildings, and, you know, they wouldn't hold up to today's standards of design. But since they were built 30 years ago, they're still there, and people don't want to necessarily tear them down because of the cost of building a new building.
And it's a very compact city. I mean, it's a lot of building on building, so that would probably pose some kind of difficulty.
Yeah, and for sure, and that leads to some of the building construction techniques. So they use what are called soft story buildings a lot in Mexico City and other developing nations that are, you know, have a high population density because there's no or few interior walls, and that allows you to park underneath the building. But what that does is it eliminates a lot of your lateral strength elements. So you can't resist the type of lateral horizontal shear loads that are being applied to the building by the earthquake. So you end up, the first story collapses, and then if you're lucky, nothing else collapses. But often what happens is the building kind of just pancakes on itself because of the increased vertical loads from kind of that dynamic failure of the first story.
You were discussing the soil failure. So when the dirt fails, does that mean that I should have used a different kind of dirt to put this skyscraper in?
Well, first, we like soil.
Okay.
I mean, dirt's kind of a bad word.
Oh, is it? I'm sorry.
Yeah. But no, so some of the failures and stuff that you get into is, you know, liquefaction is a phenomenon in sand, so soft, loose sands that are saturated. And what can happen is it turns into more of a liquid, so that's liquefaction. And it loses a lot of its shear strength, and it can't hold up buildings anymore, so you get big settlement failures. And for Mexico City, that wasn't a problem because most of Mexico City is built on clays, and clays are sticky. So they don't liquefy. They got a lot of plasticity to them. They don't lose their strength the same way. But what they can do is cyclically soften. So their strength can be reduced due to the cyclic loading that the earthquake applies. And as it gets softer, the buildings tend to settle or fail as a result of that. You know, Mexico City has very, very young clays. And they have consolidation or settlement problems without the earthquake. It was very common to see buildings that had settled, you know, a foot, foot and a half in some cases, which in most cases would be very unacceptable. But, you know, given the construction techniques and what people, how much money it would cost to make a building where it only had maybe an inch of settlement, they're willing to accept these types of problems that they run into. We had some issues trying to figure out whether the buildings had settled differentially, so had a tilt to them before the earthquake or after the earthquake. So the buildings are built very close together in a lot of cases, maybe 6 inches between them, you know, very, very close together, and it wasn't uncommon for them to almost be touching at the very top because one had settled into the other one. So it was tough sometimes to figure out, okay, was this pre-earthquake, post-earthquake? So we had to talk to a lot of people to try to figure this out that lived in the buildings and ask them, well, is it pre-earthquake, post-earthquake? You know, what's the mechanism here that's causing this problem?
So how did you become a part of the project or the group that went down to Mexico City to investigate after the earthquake?
A lot of it's just training. So geotechnical earthquake engineering is kind of what I do. So I'm interested in looking at these failures and the organization GEAR. So Geotechnical Extreme Events Reconnaissance generally sends out an email and asks for volunteers.
National organization?
National Science Foundation funded organization. So we also do international people become a part of it too. But it's mostly academics, though we usually get federal employees or state employees. Like there was a guy from Caltrans, California DOT, that came on one of the teams, and some people from FHWA, the Federal Highway Administration, Army Corps engineers people, plus we get some consultants a lot of times that come. So it's a good mix of people, but often the academics had the most time to investigate these things. So it's often made up of a lot of academics. So it's just kind of being connected with the organization and having the right skills that are valuable to kind of dissecting these failures and trying to understand what happened.
So how big was your group that went down to Mexico City?
I think we had 10 people in that group, and there was we were the main GEAR team, reconnaissance team for GEAR, and then there was an advanced team that got pulled off the week or two before, 8.1 magnitude earthquake further south in Mexico. So they were originally going to investigate that, and they got pulled off that to be an advanced team to just go in and get a lay of the ground to tell us kind of what's interesting to go look at.
And so where do you start in a project like this? I imagine it would, to me anyways, it would seem overwhelming. Where do you even start? There's just so many buildings and so much, you know, so many things to investigate.
There's lots of great. So the best one is local knowledge from people in the UNAM University in Mexico City. Mm-hmm. The colleagues there were very, very helpful because they were on the ground 2 weeks, 3 weeks before us. So they'd kind of got a lay of the land. You'd be surprised how much social media helps. So Twitter, looking on Twitter, looking on Facebook for things, Instagram, people posting things about what was damaged or where damage was, even Google Maps because they closed streets. So you can see kind of where streets are closed, and then just, talking to people. You can walk into any place and, ask people and they'll tell you, oh, yeah, this building collapsed or, this area had lots of problems and this area didn't. Kind of watching the news, any kind of thing like that you can get information from and then go investigate it. And in lack of that, sometimes it's just kind of driving around. And you just drive around and see where you can find interesting things or where there's closures. Generally, as you get closer to the epicenter, you have more damage. So you can always kind of drive that way and run into kind of damage. But some of the bridges that we were running into that failed, we just kind of lucked into some of those. Some of them people had posted on social media, so we went and investigated them. So sometimes it's just kind of luck that you fall into seeing these failures. But oftentimes there's not a lack of things to go see.
And so what did you guys end up finding?
Well, we haven't got everything put together yet. But we've got, a number of things just looking at the ground motions. One of the unique things about Mexico City is it's built on an old lake bed that's been filled in by really, really soft clay. Much softer than most of what you'll see in northwest Arkansas. So there's very interesting basin effects that occurred during the earthquake. So these waves propagated from the epicenter of where the earthquake occurred and got funneled kind of into this basin, and they came and struck one of the basin edges, so kind of like a lake bed edge. And you get some amplification. You get some constructive and deconstructive amplification along those edges, and that led to a lot of building failures kind of along one edge, kind of striking that outside boundary. So that's pretty unique, and kind of understanding that, and it has a lot of implications to other zones, like Los Angeles Basin, potentially having earthquakes that occur and have those same type of effects. So understanding those effects and the bigger ground motions in different areas, why they occurred, helps us design and come up with what type of ground motion is your building going to experience in a certain location?
So once you do have time to go through all of the research that you did and all the information that you collected, what happens then? Will you send it to a certain organization, or how will that help people rebuild, I guess?
It's all posted on GEER's website, so gearassociation.org. You can go on there. There's lots and lots of reports from all the earthquakes. So all that information kind of gets put into a report, and you can go out and read about all the things that happened or failed. And there's other organizations that go in. The Earthquake Engineering Research Institute tends to focus on buildings because a lot of their members are structural engineers. So they generally put out a report on what buildings did well and what buildings didn't. So a lot of that information's out there, and then we do follow-up. So we kind of break up and do follow-up research, and that generally takes a little bit longer to kind of get out into the public domain. But the idea with academics is we want to make all this stuff publicly available.
Had you ever been to Mexico or Mexico City before?
I'd never been to Mexico City before or Mexico, but I have been to a lot of earthquake zones. So my first experience was after the 2010 Haiti earthquake. So that was a very unique experience. And then I went to Christchurch, New Zealand in 2011 after the Christchurch earthquake. I went to Japan about a year after the 2011 Tohoku earthquake. And then I was in Ecuador last year after the 2016 earthquake. So I've got a lot of, you know, experience kind of going to these earthquake zones after major earthquakes.
Do you ever do anything smaller, like maybe something here in Arkansas? There was one in northeast Arkansas.
Yes.
Smaller 3-point something.
Very, very small earthquake in comparison. There are actually orders of magnitude difference between those. So about a 30 times more energy release as you go up each magnitude scale. So the 7.1 is much, much larger than the one in northeast Arkansas. But yeah, we're doing some work with the highway department right now, looking at some of the site response and earthquake engineering work that they do for bridges out in that area, trying to predict what some of the ground motions are, potentially trying to save some money in the earthquake design. So that's one of the research projects. So we try to do quite a bit in kind of the New Madrid seismic zone because it's very close to where we are and, you know, in our best interest.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was Clint Wood, an assistant professor in the University of Arkansas's Department of Civil Engineering, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda inside the Carver Center for Public Radio late last month. You can read more about his Mexico City earthquake research at gearassociation.org.